All right, we are back. Hour 2, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Greg Merced joining us now. He is a family finance expert. Greg, welcome. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So before we get started, because family finance and raising kids and all that is what we're going to talk about, but I got a quick story I want to share with you that I think goes along with our conversation today. So I had raised several kids, and in one particular occasion our grown daughter had left, and they had gone on her and her husband had gone on their honeymoon, and they came back and they were staying with us for just a few days before their apartment and all that was ready to go, and you know how that kind of goes. And so we were kind of having a conversation, my at that time, you know, son-in-law and I were having a little chat, and something came up about the cell phone, my daughter's cell phone, and effect of, you know, something like, you know, can we get an upgrade, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but I promptly piped up and said something to the effect of, you guys can do whatever you want to with said cell phone and plan, because she's now on your payroll, not mine any longer. So you guys do whatever you feel like you want to do from this point forward.
Wow, you're amazing. I think that's exactly what we should be doing, all of us.
Well, okay, so question I have for you is, why don't more do that?
So this is how dumb I am, okay? Here I am, this financial expert. I just switched our family over to Verizon as from T-Mobile, whatever. They gave me some credit because I did it. And I actually went and paid off two of my son's devices, about $1,000 worth, for him. I'm thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. What are you doing?
Oh, this is what happens when you do emotional things.
Okay. Yeah, good point.
Oh my goodness. So there is kind of this fine line, and I understand that, right? And I've done some good things, I've done some bad things, but this trying to, you know, and with cell phones specifically, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of times that you can actually get cheaper plan if you have more people, right?
Yeah, they give you a group discount, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you can say, all right, you know, daughter, I'm kicking you off and good luck. And then all of a sudden they're paying $100 a month for the two of them as opposed to, you know, $40 a month. So it's kind of like, it's a little bit sticky. And so
I'll give you my take on that, Greg. And I get where you're going. And I fully understand. And we want to try to save money and even help as much as we can. Although my take on this, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is where you can straighten me out. I look at that and say, yeah, I get it. It could be, you know, $40 a month instead of $100. But my side of it is, well, yeah, but at the end of the day, how do they learn to do this and budget and do things correctly? And yes, I know as parents we're trying to help them, but are they ever going to learn if I just leave them on my plan?
Yes. No, I totally agree with you. And yeah, you have to grow up at some point, right? And that means goodbye. You're off my plan. And so I think there's a simple answer to this. Maybe this is a meet in the middle thing, right? So if that is something, we want to get the group discount. We want to save them a little money because they're just starting out, et cetera, et cetera. Say, listen, I want to be very clear with you. I'll keep you on my plan, but you have to pay me. Like, you Venmo me every month, okay?
Okay.
And I'm not going to harass you for it. You either Venmo me or you don't. And if you don't twice, I'm just going to cancel you off.
Okay. And back then, by the way, Venmo, this is long enough, literally long enough in the past that Venmo, believe it or not, didn't exist at that point in time. I'm not sure that we even had some of the fancy, you know, smartphone devices and things that we have, you know, now. So a lot of things have of course evolved since those days.
Yeah.
But I like what you're saying, because that one's easy. You miss your two Venmo payments to me, and guess what? You'll find out really quick you're not on the plan.
Exactly. And maybe that's the best way to, you know, get them off. But clear expectations, and try not to make it emotional like I just did, right? And I think that's a great way to do it.
Okay, what are some of the other things that parents, especially parents, because we're entering now this time where kids will be graduating from high school or college, or they may be going on to college, or they may be, you know, going from college into the job world, and yet maybe mom and dad have been helping them through college, which I'm not opposed to, Greg. In this particular case, My rule was, I will help you all the way through college, and I'll help you get where you need to go. But the minute you get married, you're on your own, including if you get married halfway through college, you decide that's the direction you want to head. Fine. But remember, you're not on my payroll anymore. You're on your husband's payroll.
I love it. So I literally have a spreadsheet that says, you know, what is the financial situation here? And it breaks it down just like that. If you're in college or if you're married. When you're married, it all goes to the other column, and I love it. I think that's a good idea. Now, when it comes to helping through college, I think all parents, well, most parents, want to try to help them their kids through college. Here's kind of what I think is a good idea. Help with rent, not with tuition. Okay, I know that might sound a little bit odd, but here's the reasoning behind it. If you help with rent, you're going to have to kind of keep them safe and protected anyways.
Right.
And if you do that, then they have to become scholarship experts because they're on the hook.
That's true. Good point. No, you're right. Good point. I like that, actually.
And there's tons of options out there. There's academic scholarships. There's sports scholarships. There's religious ones. There's a million different scholarships. And that makes the incentives align to where they have to go and hustle that. Or they just waitress and drive Uber and do whatever they can to make some money to pay the tuition. I don't care. But if I were you, I'd invest some time into figuring that out, and then you can pay less.
So I like that.
I like that idea.
I like that as well, because the other thing they could be looking at, which is a whole nother avenue I might talk about today, is the trades, because we don't have enough in the trades. That's no longer, in my opinion, Greg, looked down upon like it once was. Some folks can actually go to trade school for half the time you would normally go to college and come out earning twice as much as you would with a college degree.
Absolutely. I think those are great. I think there's so many, you know, there's welding, there's mechanics, there's the hair, there's makeup, there's all these different things. And you can do really well with those. And I think that's right. We shouldn't, you know, say, hey, college or nothing. But also say, hey, same deal. If you want to go live at home, but be in this trade school and learn how to weld or do diesel mechanics or just cut hair or whatever, great. You can stay home and that $500 or whatever I was going to kick in for rent at the college, I'll just help them with the tuition in that regard.
Okay.
I'm in for that. At home.
Yeah, no, I'm in for that. That makes total sense. Oh, here's a question for you, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I did this, but I'm not saying I did this correctly. How early in a child's life should you start talking about some of these financial things?
Now this is perfect. So you should literally start talking about this when they're young. I'm literally 5-6 years old. I know that seems insane, but I think if you can teach a kid in a very transparent way what is going on.
Yep.
And it's not that hard.
Nope.
You're sitting on the couch watching Netflix together. You can say, listen, my phone just buzzed and I got the electric bill. And, I'm in Denver. It's hot in the summer and it's $400. Just let them know that that's how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
Then their eyes are going to open.
Agreed.
And these kinds of things are like, what?
Yep.
$400?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden when you ask them, go scoop the dog poop and mow the lawn and do all those things around the house, they're going to think, yeah, maybe I should.
Mm-hmm. No, I was like you. I started the kids very early. I've got another story I'll tell that might help some of you out there listening, because all of my kids are now grown and gone. My youngest, who will join me here at 4:30, is 33 now. So totally different, playing field now for me when it comes to kids and all of that. But one thing that we did when the kids were little, and I did this on purpose, and this is going to sound really out there, Greg. In fact, some people are going to listen to me and think, man alive, John, you are like an ogre as a parent. And
I wanted my kids
to learn the financial end of things, and I wanted them to understand what a dollar was. And so when my kids were, I think my youngest, who's going to talk to me here on air shortly, he was probably no more than 10, meaning my oldest, maybe he was 8, probably 8, and the oldest was 17 or 18. So that's kind of the spread that we had. And we had 7, so I raised 7 kids. And so one year, we were going on vacation, and we were planning on going to a very nice place. And I'll just say, we were going to Hawaii. And we told the kids Christmas time that this is what we were going to do. So we gave them plenty of time. We're going to go to Hawaii in July. There's 7 months ahead of you. And here's the deal. We're going to go, but each one of you is going to buy family meal at night once, meaning we're going to be there for a week. There are 7 of you. So you all are going to buy the family one whole meal on your dime, not anybody else's, and you've got 7 months to save up. And we kind of gave them an idea of what those meals would cost, so they had 7 months to be able to gather that money and so on. And so my wife thought, oh man, this is going to be, you know, crazy. And it kind of was. And where it really got crazy was when we went to pay. So we're at a restaurant. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody knew on the front side what was going to happen. They all had their own little money to be able to do this, Greg. When they actually started to pay, I think the rest of the restaurants thought we were the cruelest parents on the planet, because here these little kids are, in some cases, 10, 8, you know, 12, 14, whatever. They've got their little pocketbook out, and they're rattling out, you know, this cash to make the – and we said we'd pay the tip. All they had to do was pay the meal. We would handle the tip. That would be, you know, mom and dad's portion of this. But my point was to teach them how much vacations cost.
I love it. Are you kidding me? I mean, sure, you got booed by the other people in the restaurant.
But, we did.
I mean, that's such a good thing, and I bet you they still talk about it.
They do, and they understood really quickly how much those meals cost. And what was funny is they realized, oh, if I order this, this is what it's really costing at the end of the day. And in the future, I should be reminded of that when mom and dad are paying.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's essentially what we've done. You know, I created Busy Kid, and now our kids just have cards that they pay with, right? Because things change. But
correct.
It's such an important thing to teach kids early in life what that means. And, you know, you swipe the card and holy smokes, the money's gone. And it took me six months to save that up, right? It's a different world now because it is invisible money, right?
In a lot of ways, it is. Yes, you're right. Yeah. It's not cash like it was for my example is they were using cash. They could see it leave pretty quickly. And you encourage them to bring enough where they could, if they wanted to buy a trinket for one of their friends or a boyfriend or whatever the case may be, they needed to make sure they had enough money in reserve to do all of that. Now, I will say I gave my kids an advantage as well because I've always been self-employed. I've had businesses pretty much my whole adult career, Greg. So they had also an advantage because they had immediate ability to work in the business and earn that money as well. So they did have an advantage that way.
Yeah, and that is a big thing. And nowadays, you know, a lot of kids are living in very kind of urban lifestyles, right? And it's a little bit tougher. But you know, there are opportunities out there. You can go in Denver, you can go mow somebody's lawn, you can go walk somebody's dog, pet sit. Like, there's lots of stuff you can do out there.
Greg, to your point, yes, there are tons, and I'm a part of some neighborhood Facebook pages and so on, and I can't believe how many times people ask that question. Where do I find a young kid that will do XYZ? Because A, I need it done. B, I want to help them. And Greg, I just can't believe how much of that is available because no one does it anymore.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. I mean, a hustling kid, holy smokes, he can make a lot of money, she can make a lot of money, and it is out there. It's just a matter of entrepreneurialism, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Absolutely.
It's a great thing. You can teach them right.
When is it, let me ask it this way before I let you go. When is that time that all support is cut off?
When do you stop the gravy train?
Yes.
Well, I just stepped on a rake just last week with mine, and he's 27.
Okay.
But I would say, I think that what you talked about a little bit earlier is a great time. It's like when you get married or when you graduate college, the gravy train is ending. That is when the ride is over. You're on your own, fly on your own, done. And you have to start weaning them off that, you know, as you get closer to the station, right? As the train is slowing down, you got to kind of start weaning them off. And I think that's a good thing. And they'll want to do it, frankly.
Oh, and you know what? It's the best thing you could ever do for them. Greg, how do folks find you?
BusyKid.com. We're just trying to help kids learn about money and how to manage it properly so that they can get out of your house.
Okay. You're welcome anytime. As you can tell, Greg, you're in great company.
Absolutely. Good job, Dad.
I appreciate you, Greg, because I think it's very important when it comes to teaching kids about finances.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate you very much. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.